Local news can come at you fast. Want the latest on what's happening in your backyard? Download the free Odyssey app. Follow your local news station, and you'll get alerts on the top stories making headlines in your city. You can stay in the know, no matter what you're up to, and be among the first to find out when news breaks. Plus, keep tabs on weather and traffic, so you're never caught off guard. To get started, download the Odyssey app. That's A-U-D-A-C-Y. And follow your local news station.
Thank you for joining me this morning for Total Information AM. I'm Megan Lynch. Let's head out to Los Angeles now, where at least 24 people have died due to the area's wildfires. Fire crews are racing to try to gain control before more powerful winds are forecast to head into that area and lead to additional spreading of the fires. They've burned around 40,000 acres at this point. We're joined now by KNX anchor and reporter Brian Ping. Brian, thanks for taking time to join us this morning.
Good morning. Thank you.
Talk to us about those continued risks, especially the winds that are expected to pick up and remain at least through midweek.
Well, the National Weather Service is calling this, and these are three letters that I personally hadn't heard before, but they started using. It was PDS, which means particularly dangerous situation. Now, usually every time that happens, we get a fire. And the last time they had it was Tuesday night, when we had wind gusts getting up to 80, 90 miles an hour, just absolutely horrific. That's when I saw some of the videos of those embers just flying by. It was incredible to see. And at that point, nobody is safe. I mean, even if you've got a lot of brush clearance, those things can fly for miles. And that's how you get homes on the coastal sides of highways with no brush around them going to the ground. We could get that later tonight. I hope we don't. The gusts might not be quite as bad, but we're getting ready for that.
Talk about the firefighting efforts at this point. What are those crews trying to do as far as containing this?
Some of the bigger fires have gotten so large that they're focusing on hot spots within them. One particular one, the Palisades fire, they're protecting a canyon called Mandeville Canyon, and which is well within the burn zone. So even though here we are on, I think it's what, day seven, the containment lines still aren't very long. It was 11% as of last night. That's not really what they're focused on now. They're focused on protecting hotspots from within the burn zone and vulnerable areas in there from any kind of flare-ups. Now, those places obviously should have been evacuated a long time ago. But again, that's the danger that we could be facing tonight and into tomorrow as these winds roar back to life. Any kind of smoldering spots could revive if the right wind hits it.
What kind of burden is on social service agencies, hospitals, other shelters to try to meet the need for people who have evacuated?
It's enormous. We're talking about, I believe, 150,000 people. We're using one of our large horse racing tracks, Santa Anita, as a big staging area to get relief out. And you're talking about people not only whose homes necessarily burn to the ground, but anybody in that evacuation zone who can't get in. Maybe they don't have a place to stay. Maybe they've got to pay for shelter. It's all the little things like that that add up. So it affects a lot more people other than those who tragically lost everything. But it touches a lot more people as well.
As you know, you're a St. Louis native. You know, we've dealt with disasters like flooding here. This seems so much different because of the nature of, you know, these winds and the fire. Talk about the recovery efforts and how that's going to be stalled for the time being.
You know, it's we have to wait for this wind event to get through for a lot of people to even repopulate. And, you know, let me tell you about what happened yesterday. A lot of people were lining up, getting ready for, to be escorted back to their homes, only to be told by the police chief, no, you can't get there. And then we learned later in the day, it's going to be at least Thursday when these, well, we call them red flag conditions. That means high fire risk conditions subside. And it might even be after that. Then you talk about, well, getting through there, getting everything cleaned out and getting everything rebuilt. And then you're running into all sorts of regulations. California is notorious for that. You know, Governor Newsom is promising to lessen some of those burdens. We'll see if he backs that up.
Brian, how challenging has it been for reporters and news organizations to try to gather information and get it out in a timely fashion to your listeners?
I got to tell you, I've been safely in the anchor studio, but our team of reporters, they've been out there. They've been, risking their safety and, getting out to the fire zones. They were out there in the thick of it Tuesday night when those 80, 90 mile an hour wind gusts were whipping around them. Their vehicles were getting, knocked side to side. There, we had one of our staff members who's, a pretty tall guy, got knocked over about 6 feet from a wind gust and just being out there, nowhere near the fires. So just actually being down there where this is happening is pretty scary because you don't know which way the winds are going to turn or what could catch up in flames near where you are in a situation that you cannot outrun for the people that have been ordered out of there well ahead of time. Because if you're stuck there, there's no guarantee that you're going to make it.
You've mentioned the firefighting efforts, the emergency response, the governor's response to this. We're starting to hear, though, a lot of criticism of the mayor of Los Angeles and her travel just prior to this event. What's the latest on that?
Yeah, she's going to have a lot to answer when a lot of this subsides, and she already is. And she's been deflecting questions and criticism up to this point, which is understandable. She's got an emergency at hand to deal with. But yeah, it was a bad look for her to be out of the country, just on the other side of the world in Africa when this sparked up, even though there were high wind warnings and very dry conditions that had cropped up well ahead of time. Not great planning on that part. And then there were a lot of questions as to, you can debate what her role in that was. The city did short the fire department in its latest budget. It's in belt tightening mode, so you did have to cut, they cut $17 million. And that sparked the anger of the fire chief right in the middle of the firefight. And that was huge news here. A few days ago, the fire chief made the rounds on television saying that the city had failed her. I mean, that was extraordinary. I mean, it was just still going on. So there's a petition going on to recall Mayor Bass, and it seems to be picking up steam. It's probably going to be a difficult few weeks and months ahead for her.
When it comes to the resources, you mentioned the cuts to the fire department. Do they have the resources they need to battle a disaster of this magnitude?
I think it was laid pretty bare this past week. They did not. They had to call in a lot of outside resources. There's a question about the water supply that a lot of people learned about Tuesday night, where there were stories coming out, whether or not they were true, that the hydrants just completely ran out of water. There's a question about a reservoir in the area that was completely empty, and as to whether it should have been or did it have to be empty. And of course, our water supplies are running low as it is. So that's just more of the host of questions that are going to have to be asked. And I think a lot will today, because I think during the day today is going to be kind of a reset where we're not going to be dealing with immediate fire danger until later. We're going to really have to start digging into this.
Brian, I'm curious, you mentioned trying to confirm some of those things. Is that becoming a problem the longer this goes on, the issue of misinformation that we typically have whenever we have a major disaster or event?
Yeah, we're going to have to dig through a lot of what's been said, too, as far as, like I mentioned, the water shortage. We had the head of the Department of Water and Power go on with us and say, no, what certain people have alleged is not true. We did not run out of water. The hydrants did not run dry. Governor Newsom's calling for an investigation as to what the heck happened with the water supply there, too. So there might be some misinformation even among official ranks. And, of course, stuff that you see on social media, we should all be trained to take that with a grain of salt. And a lot of people just kind of take the conclusions that they want to take. But I think we're still kind of in a fog of war situation, because it might take some time before the firefight subsides, before we can sort through what was true and what wasn't.
Brian, thank you so much. Really appreciate you taking time to join us this morning.
Hey, you bet. Thanks so much.
That is Brian Ping. He is KNX reporter and anchor, coming to us from Los Angeles with the latest on the wildfire risks that still continue there.